This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm going to make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
I'm Aileen.
And welcome to our third part of this four-part series.
Third installment.
I really hope that you're enjoying it and let us know what you think.
You're loving it.
Yeah. So we talked about, you know, some like throwback TV and movies and just cultural stuff. But what we want to talk about today is like how media has improved or not improved, and become either like more inclusive, ways that it has raised certain beauty standards, and just generally how we're feeling about like the content that's coming out and how like it relates to and how weight and body image play a role in what is being put out now.
So first question is, do you think that there's been progress?
I do. I definitely think there has been progress. I think before there was really only one culture and like one, especially one dominant culture, and there was really not like a space or, and there definitely weren't many people like trying to like, I think, counteract what was out there, at least not people who were getting, you know, real attention. And they were certainly weren't getting like spots on, you know, on TV networks. So Whereas now they are.
Right. Because there was a lot, there's like a lot of gatekeepers of all of that. Like there was no democratic system of like sharing where social media sort of is, where you can kind of say what you think and be vocal. Whereas if before you'd have to pitch to a website and to write your thoughts, maybe you'd be able to tweet about it, but who knows if anything would happen about that. Like maybe like HuffPo would pick it up.
And you certainly couldn't get like a show about like, I mean, what other than Lena Dunham, who it's great that she did get a show and was able to show a lot of things through it. But she had serious connections that got her to write a show out of almost nowhere.
But it did make an impact, I think. But that was already, that was like 2013, 2012.
I think Girls actually was like almost the beginning of it. But I do want to just point, I do want to say two things, or really one thing about right now. One thing about two things. I think that society is sort of like bifurcated into two like pieces on this. The first is like you still have that culture of like aspirational appearances. Like you see the Kardashians, the Hadids, like the housewives with all of this. It's not just weight, it's surgery, it's like making your butt look in a particular shape. Like it's gotten to be so much more involved. But I don't think that anyone believes that that is real or natural anymore. And I think people understand that that is not like effortless the way that they, you know, people used to want you to think it was and just natural.
Right.
So I think that, yes, that still exists, but everyone acknowledges that it is fake and requires a ton of money and maintenance. And then you have like let's call it like the body acceptance movement, or just like people who are pushing the envelope a little bit more on like inclusivity and different body types. And again, this isn't only about weight. It's also about showing like disability, like people of different backgrounds, and not just having them be, yeah, like, but actually, but not just like, oh, like we have the diverse friend who's like, you know, so we, and but she acts just like everyone else. Like, there is exploration, like if you watch Never Have I Ever, there's like exploration into the culture, and it's not like this side thing where like it's like just there for effect. Like the show is surrounding people's different like cultural perspectives, and that appearance obviously is a huge part of that, and like what they'll wear, and like, you know, just all sorts of things. I think that like now there's just so much more out there that makes more people feel like they have a place.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that they've changed a lot in TV shows, just going by the Never Have I Ever thing. Like, I really love that show for so many different reasons. All different types of diversity, not just like race diversity. There's just everything. It challenges a lot of like high school stereotypes, right. I think. But it also makes me think of like Pretty Little Liars, which was also a high school show. And all those girls came to school in heels and like the tightest short skirts. And it was like that. What was message was that sending? And they were all like 30 years old.
Right. Also, like, the supporting cast always looked. This is another thing. Like, it's not just about the main character. It's about the supporting cast and how they always looked very perfect and very ideal. Like, they just truly fit an ideal. And now what I love about watching different shows, or just what I love that exists now, is that like you have imperfect normal looking people all over. And like, I like that I can see, like, and you can still see that they are considered to be good looking or beautiful or whatever it is, without being like Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart in like 2011 looks.
Yeah,
you know,
right. It almost, you know, Friends, not to talk about Friends again, but Friends did this thing where it's like three, and I didn't even notice it, it's like three like objectively beautiful women, right? But you don't realize that they're like Phoebe's like the weird one, but and they're all just like so thin and beautiful, but you don't see them like that because they're just like normal, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I it's sort of like that's the standard you have to be at across like all of shows back in the day. And now it's like complete, it's like being upended, which I agree with you. I really like, and even though you notice it, like Bridgerton as well, you notice it. It doesn't matter.
Well, you notice it, but like in a good way.
That's
like,
what I mean.
It's, yeah. Like you notice it, and then it's like, but also we're probably only noticing it because we grew up watching Friends. Like, you know what I mean? So it looks Pretty different. Yeah. Like, so I think, totally. It's like you notice it, but it's not there to make a point. It's just sort
That's
of like
what I mean,
real.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's just, it's part of the DNA of the show. And it's not something that needs to be said. And therefore, it works.
Right, totally. Whereas, like, I think for many years, it was like, oh, let's bring in, like, a friend who's, like, a different race. But, like, still will be the most beautiful person of that race. Like, you know, and they won't look different in any way. Like, they'll look like the Europeanized version of a different race, you know?
Speaking of European, though, I don't know if we talked about this or just talked to somebody about this, but I've definitely gotten messages about it, that in the UK, they show a lot of women on their like TV shows or whatever that are, or the characters are not so perfectly beautiful like the way that they are in the US. Mm-hmm. Like in Broadchurch, for example, like Olivia Colman is like the main character. This is before she was mad famous. And there's other characters. Like they're not necessarily like,
no, I know,
you know,
what you mean.
Supermodels. Yeah, yeah. There's different ages too in like that. Whereas like in the US shows, I feel like it's all young kind of women that are supposed to be older.
I think that's a very or old women who are supposed to be younger. Like middle age who are supposed to be younger. Yeah. I think that that's a very American thing because, like, I think something that, like, I and maybe we, like many people take for granted is that like American culture is very specific. It is trying to sell you the most beautiful, the most expensive, the most status oriented. Culturally, it's a more consumeristic culture, and like sex sells, beauty sells. I think that think about like even all those shows are like making money through like advertisements. Like you're not gonna sell people things if they don't feel a lack. So it's almost like showing the average person that they have to aspire to a certain place is what sells things and keeps it going. And that's why I think like culturally that's the type of person you see in our shows or and, used to be.
And the creators of everything in the US feel, I don't even know if it's they're trying to sell anything, feel like, oh, no one wants to watch that type of girl. Mm-hmm. They only want to see the beautiful thin one. Whereas, like, I think we're proving everyone wrong now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not even just about, like, showing a lack. It's, like, this idea that that's all we want to see. Otherwise, it's not worth watching.
Right, right. Completely. Like, yeah, I think there's just this, like, feeling in America that, like, beauty is the indicator and the goal. Like, it both indicates your worthiness and it proves you want to get there for more worthiness.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of examples of this. Like, Shrill was an amazing... was like revolutionary for me, like watching that. Physical definitely is like really breaking down like the glamour of eating disorders, I think, in a way that like really actually upsets people when they watch it.
Speaking of Physical, in our fourth installment, the next episode next week, we are having the creator of Physical, Annie Weissman, come on the show. We interview her and talk about like, what did she do on purpose? What didn't she mean to do? And like, and created this positive result. So definitely tune in to next week. But yeah, keep going. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's important. But okay, thinking about how like Physical portrays an eating disorder and bulimia versus how, when we talked about in the first episode, Center Stage and Blair Waldorf and their bulimia, and like that's what like Rose Byrne in Physical, that's what it actually is like to have severe bulimia. Like, it's not a thing that you like excuse yourself from the Thanksgiving table and then you look like hot in 10 minutes. Like, it's a, and I think that like if I think people our age really understood back in the day, like what it actually, an eating disorder really is like, maybe fewer people would have had them.
And that it could happen to anyone despite what they look like. Like, that's the thing about Physical that I like, is that, like, the cast character, Rose Byrne, is, like, this beautiful thin woman that everyone, like, she just appears so, but she has all of this going on. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, like, it can happen to anyone and it's not good.
Right.
Just like, it's not healthy. It's not casual. Right. And it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, something that we just mentioned, Lena Dunham, if you think about it, like when Lena Dunham first got on TV and was like being naked everywhere, people were like, ew, I don't want to see that. That was like the old school way of thinking. But I actually feel like she was kind of the one to break that down and like say, like, I don't fucking care if you want to see it. Then don't watch HBO at 10 o'clock on a Sunday. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like she's like she was just unabashed in that. And I do have to give her credit for that, because like I think that if. And that's kind of like a good example of how to like use your privilege for good. Like she broke down a barrier that I think allowed like a space that wasn't there before to see like nudity in that type of body on television without having to like hide it or be embarrassed of it or be like, I'm going to change this. I'm here to change this.
And not show it just like in a glimpse. It was like pretty
full frontal, always.
Exhibitionist. But I admit that I was one of those people like, I don't want to see this. Like, why does she need to do this? It's so performative. Like, she's just doing it for attention. And now looking back, I get why she needed to do it for attention. Because right. You need to be loud to make some change.
Right, right.
I also want to say that, like, Adam Driver is considered hot these days, but he wasn't then. And I have always thought he was hot.
But that's what's so crazy. It's like he was cast because he was not too hot. And now he is.
That's okay. Why I liked watching girls.
No, he's definitely like hot. Like he was definitely good looking from a certain perspective, but he was not your conventionally good looking person who was playing the main male love interest.
He like was conventionally hot to me.
Okay, you get what I mean? Like
I do. Wasn't a conventionally right. hot love right. interest.
They were not anyone. Gonna like they're not gonna they were okay they were not gonna cast Chase Crawford as like Lena Dunham's like the guy she's chasing right. Like yeah, it had to be an ugly hot guy.
Okay, so yeah, I agree. Girls made a big impact, even though I don't think that I felt like it was at the time. Right? I remember liking it because I thought it was well written. I thought Adam Driver was really hot. I love HBO, and it was just really funny when she was just like, "I'm a voice of like." She really captured like that entitled millennial voice really yes. really well, which was really relatable to us because it was on at a time when we felt the same. Like we felt like, you know, we were these kind of like millennial young assholes yeah. out of college, like entitled in. Even though people say, "Oh, millennials aren't," just like in. I think anybody right out of college.
I actually think millennials like were more entitled back in the day, and now we're not entitled. Like, I kind of think millennials like were a little bit for a little while. Now we're, I think, like one of the hardest. I think we probably are the hardest working generation, but we were not like. Again, it was annoying that like old ass
right
bitches.
Out of college.
Also, like old ass bitches were calling us entitled when like they couldn't even open a PDF. So, like, whatever.
But we digress.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. May mainly it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
Let's talk about something we did talk about all the time, and we still sort of do. It's on very much now, is The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Mm. Do you think that that has a good impact on society, or is it just kind of falling flat?
From a beauty perspective, you mean?
Yeah. Forget the fact that, you know.
Yeah, all the other
forget
stuff.
Forget the dating premise.
Right. Well, here's the thing. The Bachelor and The Bachelorette still live in that world of the perfect looking supporting cast. And like, it's all just like homogeneity, looking nice. Like I,
and
every
and it,
girl
it's based on the audience judging.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. Like the, when I literally every Bachelor, when they like roll out the cast, I'm like, this cast is the exact same as the last cast. Like maybe they tried to get a little more diversity, but always good looking diversity. Like, you know, I think that, yeah, The Bachelorette and The Bachelor are literally steeped in like the oldest bullshit. So I think The Bachelor does not help because like you're literally, it's really a very attraction based show and everyone there just looks good in the same.
They would never have anybody who is not extremely thin on that show because they're always in bikinis. And that's, I feel like there's lots of shows like that. Too Hot to Handle,
Love Island.
And I mean, it is what it is because it's sort of like,
yeah, all the other stuff.
There needs to be some shows where it's just hot, stupid.
Right.
Just hot. Well, like hot people and stupid.
Here's the
superficial
thing. The Bachelor and The Bachelorette still live in that world of the perfect looking supporting cast. And like, it's all just like homogeneity, looking nice. Like literally every Bachelor, when they like roll out the cast, I'm like, this cast is the exact same as the last cast. Like maybe they tried to get a little more diversity, but always good looking diversity. Like, you know, I think that, yeah, The Bachelorette and The Bachelor are literally steeped in like the oldest bullshit. So I think The Bachelor does not help because like you're literally, it's really a very attraction based show and everyone there just looks good in the same. If something's supposed to be about like hot people only, like traditionally hot people only, sure, like, I don't begrudge you that, like, the same way you wouldn't cast a white person as a black person. Like, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but you're just not gonna, like, you're gonna cast for the role in the thing you're gonna cast it for. But it's more about, like, overall diversity existing, like, amongst the media. That's important.
Let's talk about the Kardashians, because they obviously are making a mark on society. They are in the news all the time. That is what they love to be in. They've had 20 seasons of their show. They've been around, or their first episode, 2007. So they've very much been around. And they've also kind of, like, seen how much we've seen with the internet changing, social media, beauty standards changing. But they very much were in the driver's seat of a lot of those things, I feel like.
Yeah, something that sort of makes me a little nauseous to think about is how they have popularized, like, a face. Like, they have popularized, like,
a plastic face
and body that is a very specific look that you then see other people out in the world are aiming for. Like, you can identify when someone is like, okay, they want to look like a Kardashian. And so it really, I don't know, it just, it's very not much not for me. It really, I find it kind of gross. But, like, you know what? Whatever makes people happy, like, go ahead.
It doesn't give me that kind of reaction, because
it's
human nature. Like, it is human nature to want to be like someone else. And it's just the part that's just kind of like clown. It kind of feels clowny to me, like clowny in a not a funny clowny way, like clowns, is that, like, it perpetuates people having to get all these, like, fillers and all that shit and have this, like, symmetrical face. But in reality, those people don't look good in real life. And to me, that's why it's, like, not gross. It's kind of, it's funny,
okay,
to me. Ugh. Because the joke is back on them. It's like, I mean, sort of, I feel like the people are victims in a way, but also, which is not funny, but it's like you go and you change a lot about yourself so you can look like this obviously unrealistic person, but a lot of it is done for the service of looking good in selfies and social media, and that never translates good, like, well in person. Right.
I think what people don't really consider when they go in to, like, ask their plastic surgeon or whomever for, like, a certain look, they're not considering what canvas they're starting with. And I don't mean, like, oh, they're too ugly to get there. I mean, like, if your facial structure will never suit the Kardashian facial structure, regardless of how much you do, you're just gonna look you're gonna look weird, because your face is not, the reason they can all do it is because they all share genes. Like, they're basically just working off a Kris Jenner template and creating, like, a new face based, like, for each, how each of their faces is, like, interpreting the surgery. But
what about Amelia starting to look like Chloe?
She doesn't look good. She looks bad. Like, everyone needs to lean into what their own facial structure looks like and work on enhancing that which they already have. I am never going to look like Scooter Braun's wife.
You know, who,
like, there's no surgery I could do to make it happen. So I should try to look like someone, if I'm looking to look like someone else, I should try to look like someone who starts off sort of looking like me. Sort of.
You know who I used to think was beautiful? Everyone always thought that Gigi was the pretty sister before Bella was popular. And I was like, you guys, Bella is gonna be bigger. She has like a classic beauty, and then she filled her face and does not. I'm like, this has ruined. But now people find her more beautiful than before. But I always found that, like, Bella's always was like the dark hair, like the pretty sort of like natural looking exotic one. But I realized that she was really just natural because she hasn't gone to the fillers yet. And now she's totally changed her face. And she's also someone that people want to like look like. They want like the cheek, the really crazy cheekbones. They want that.
Not everyone's facial structure is built for those cheekbones. Like, I'm sorry. It's not for everyone. Like, it's just, that's what's so frustrating about it. Like, watching people try to fundamentally change to look like someone who they will never look like. Bella Hadid's parents are Palestinian and what's Yolanda? Swedish? Yeah. What is she?
She's from Holland.
She's Dutch. Right. Those are the things that combined to create what Bella and Gigi look like. Like, if you don't have any of those genetics and at all to start with, you're not going to look like them ever. Like, no matter how much you try.
The Kardashians know that. So what they do instead is they sell makeup to make you want to look that. I love my Kardashian, my KKW contour palette. I've had it forever. It lasts forever. And I always have loved makeup my whole life. But I'm not really trying to look like the Kardashians.
You're just trying to enhance your own face.
Enhance the face. But there was a time when, like, the look of, like, that matte face, like, mm-hmm. with the overlined lips, the matte lips, too, was, like, such a look that I definitely was like, I gotta get this. This is beautiful. But really, it was just the Kardashians' way of beauty. Like, all of that makeup is not actually good in real life. And then I realized that really quickly.
Right. No, I think like makeup is different. It's like not, there's nothing going into you.
I'm saying
like,
they're capitalizing it.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Like, that's all what this comes, it's all about like money in the end. Like, more attention, more money, more sales. Like, look like us. More people who want to look like us means we'll sell more stuff. Like, I don't know. I just think what bothers me about it is all how unnatural it all looks and how unnatural people make themselves look when they could be enhancing their features in other ways that fit them. Well,
I do feel that, I don't know, I've like had a mini phase of that and it like, I just was like, went back to reality about it. Like, even me trying to get like lip fillers once, I was like, wait, so I have to get this all the time?
But you weren't getting lip fillers to like look like Chloe. Like, no, you just wanted to fill your own lips.
I didn't
right
happen.
Like, that's not okay. That's not like that's not what I'm criticizing. Like,
no, I know. Yeah. I know. I'm just saying that like just going for a more unnatural look in general, Kardashians aside, like them, like they made plastic surgery much more popular. Just in general, they did. They made it more mainstream. Like, right. People used to be very hush hush about plastic surgery. You don't right. tell anybody what you got, and now you tout it.
Tout.
Teat.
Share. Share it.
you brag about it.
Yeah. Boast.
Boast. You like that. If anybody watches Potomac, Mia goes through her list.
Well, it's all well now. I think it's become like sketchy to get it and then not share it and let people think this is what you look like.
Right. But I'm just saying that no one would ever go that far if it wasn't considered like taboo, which it was at a time. Like, you know. Go away. Right. And you'd come back looking
different.
I was getting
liposuction.
Liposuction. Exactly. Now it's like, I'm plastic and I'm proud.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Right. That's what's so crazy. It's like you right. want to look plastic so you can like take a selfie on the beach.
So and then take a selfie so that your face looks symmetrical in photos. I really think that that's the biggest, that's what it stems from. And you want to look like, I've talked to plastic surgeons who say people show me filters and like say, I want to look like this filter.
Yeah,
and
I've definitely
like
heard about that.
I want to look like myself in this filter. And you don't want a plastic surgeon who says yes to that. Just saying, get a little tip for everyone who's listening.
No.
So speaking of people who have definitely embraced plastic surgery over time, let's talk about the housewives because Boy, is that a phenomenon.
The Housewives plastic surgery from season to season almost is like the equivalent of like when one of them moves houses. Like, let me see your new nose. Like, let me see your new living room. These days.
But if you watch shows like from the beginning, like OC, if you watch from the beginning, New York, but they also looked a lot different. But they looked more normal. Right? Like, OC, I said New York. Like, Ramona looks like a different person than she does now. Granted, it's 20 years later. She's trying to be ageless by Ramona, and of course she's only using her skin line. Like, the amount of neck jobs Sonia Morgan has had, I can't. But, so what do you think about The Real Housewives in general? About, like, beauty and plastic surgery, and is this progress, or is this not?
So it's sort of like the Kardashians. Like, I don't watch them to be like, let me look at an example of like a life properly lived. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I do. It would be one thing if I was watching this as like any sort of example, but I watch it just to watch, like to see the glamorous vacations and their trips and the fights and the shopping and their houses. Like, so in some way I'm watching their plastic surgery like that too. I'm watching it as content. Like, yes, Kyle Richards looked unreal.
I was about to say, however,
here's why Kyle Richards looks so good with all her fillers, because Kyle Richards is naturally gorgeous. If you watch her first season, she was beautiful. She was always really pretty. So all they really did was like refine her already very symmetrical, very good face. She does
look a little different.
She looks a little different, but she looks like herself. She didn't try to Kardashian herself like her daughter Sophia did.
Versus Kathy, I feel like, has gotten like pieces of her face done that don't look like her face. And sometimes in some angles, I do think that Kyle is going that way.
She should stop, like, now.
I can see it happening.
She should just let herself, like, age from where she is right now, like age correctly from now on.
It doesn't work like that with plastic surgery. You got to keep getting it. Yeah, but what about Dorit?
Yeah, Dorit also Khloe Kardashian herself. I don't know. I wonder when those two are going to run out of money. That's what I want to know.
But are they setting an unrealistic beauty standard?
Of course they are, but they're not like there to set the beauty standard. No one's like, oh my gosh, like, let me get my beauty standards from this show where they are like, like Erica Jane is one of the cast members. Like, I think they are displaying an unrealistic beauty standard, but I don't think they're setting anything, because
you don't think that they're the way that we were saying in the first episode, how all this stuff affected us. Do you think that they have that same kind of effect on other young girls? Maybe not us. Maybe we're older now, but younger women who are watching.
I don't know. I'm curious what the audience thinks, if you are someone who is younger, maybe, and affected by it. I don't know.
The thing that I think is affecting younger audiences is not Real Housewives, and it's not The Bachelor, because it's us who's watching that.
Yeah.
It's the things that I think are affecting young girls is social media. It's TikTok. It's Instagram influencers. It's young influencers. It's whatever that they get gifted. It's their, like, being, like, cool and who they hang out with. And it's all on display.
On display.
But I think that's what's really affecting young women today.
But I wonder if I had seen Addison Rae's, like, ass and thighs, if I would have been like, oh, I can keep mine now.
Meaning
she has, like, a bigger ass and thighs. Like,
She's curvier.
I'm not saying she's, like,
she's still very thin.
Yes, but I'm saying,
she's not as,
I'm saying she's not the thin that we grew up with, Nicole Richie, and, like, right. You know what I mean? She looks like
Nicole Richie's another one who was the side character and then lost weight and all of a sudden now as
the main. So yeah, I think, like, if I had seen some examples of the sizes of girls that are, like, you know, the idols now, maybe I wouldn't have, like, thought I needed to turn my legs into toothpicks that they were never going to become.
Right. I am seeing, like, when I'm in real life, anytime I see, like, young girls and, like, what they're wearing, though, it's like bikini tops and jeans.
Yeah.
And that is what I see on TikTok. Like, that's the style, right? I think that's sort of exactly the same, if not worse, than like midriff for us.
No, but I think the difference is now that there are girls who are not like, it's not just the stick thin girls who are feel okay to wear those things. And again, I'm not saying no one has body image problems. I'm just saying there are examples that never would have been out there for us.
Maybe.
That's the difference.
There's definitely more representation on social media.
There was no Remy Bader in our, like, even just her. Like, there's so many influencers now who look great and they wear cool clothes and they show their bodies and they are of all different sizes. And, like, we didn't have that at all.
Zero. You're right. Zero. We had none of that. Instead, we had Fat Amy.
Yeah.
I agree. And, yeah, I agree with that. I think that is really, that's change in the positive direction. And hopefully girls are receiving that message. Because I am seeing more and more pop up on my feed.
When I see it, I'm receiving the message. I'm seeing, mm-hmm. like, I follow this one. I think her thing is Christina Zias. And she always looks so cute and she looks great. And like when I see her sometimes, I'm like, okay, like she goes out and she looks great in her photos and she looks confident. She holds her body well and like confidently, basically. And she like dresses. She doesn't seem afraid to dress in things or like she's trying to cover herself. And I see that and I'm like, okay, maybe I can get to that. Like, but again, that person would have been, we only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. When we were kids. So, yeah.
The answer to our question is there is change. I think there's obviously always more room to change. But I do think that there's much more representation of larger bodies. There's less cheap jokes.
Right.
On the internet. There's less of a tolerance for it, too.
Yeah.
And I feel personally proud of myself because I can stop myself from having a thought and I can loudly tell someone else to stop saying something like, oh, don't say that.
Right.
Like someone I know, obviously very close to me. I don't like censor anybody else's shit or I won't. I think that I've personally done a good job of not reacting to anyone saying like instead of saying don't say that, I won't react to a joke about somebody's appearance, whether like the size.
Right.
Because they're not getting that. What the reaction that they want.
Right. I still think we're very early in this change. Like if you will picture like an exponential curve, like we're still on like the bottom part of like not the bottom totally, but like we're about to be going up on the curve. And I think that it also it's not just like is it out there? It's like when will it set in for people that they can really wear what they want, that they can wear the bikini and the jeans, you know, like that has to take time to like really for people to process that and for it to like really gain steam. So I think we're still early, but I also have like more hope, I guess, about this. I would say I'm more hopeful about this than I am about pretty much anything else that's going on right now. Like definitely more hopeful that people are going to accept their bodies than I am hopeful about that we're going to solve climate change. So like everyone is going to just be looking amazing and confident while they're running from the flood.
Exactly. And on that note, everyone, please tune into our next episode where we actually interview a creator of a show that we talked about in this. The show on Apple TV Plus, if you haven't watched it, it's called Physical. It's not, obviously this is not sponsored whatsoever. Sammy and I turned it on. We both individually were like, this show Physical, have you heard about it? And it's just kind of making a difference in our mind, and it shows the progress. And so we interview Annie Weissman. She's the creator of the show, and we ask her, like, how did you even get this made? It's amazing that you did. It's so relatable, or it's so on point.
Mm-hmm.
And you should tune into that. That's next week. And if you haven't heard our other two episodes in this wonderful series, go listen to them now. They're really just the one right before that and the one right before that.
Yes.
chronological order. And guys, as always, email us dsc@betches.com. Rate, review, subscribe. Sammy, do you want to finish this one?
Follow us on Instagram. I'm at Sammy. Aileen is at Aileen. And we're always with you.
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.